It's go time. God first, everything second. Let's work. Just imagine, family, you're sitting there. You're thinking to yourself, how in the world did I get myself into this? I got everything moving everywhere. How am I going to create, watch this, family, a sense of like we're actually doing something, being productive and making sure that we are delivering on what the thing that we said we were going to deliver on after the project charter was executed, after the project planning was executed, after we get into executing. And now we're in that phase when we're looking at monitoring and controlling before we navigate into closing. What are you saying here, ED? Today's episode is entitled, by the way, allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, that just simply means Ed. I have an 8-point framework, and these 8 points, my goal, my job, my dream, or my vision should be to unpack today's title, which is entitled, how does the ability to effectively manage a project relate to productivity? Again, how does the ability to effectively manage a project relate to productivity? That's a good question. I always thought about it. And I had to ask myself, I said, self, what do you do in a situation where you're trying to figure out what is the biggest energy drainer? Point number one, manage energy, not just time. Listen, we have to understand, family, and recognize that human energy is a limited resource, and managing it with much care as well as time management is going to be important. One of the things I want to give to you as actionable steps is to encourage regular breaks, consider flexible working hours to match the individual energy peaks. Also, you need to monitor your own energy. I've watched how teams have gotten burnt out because of the workload, have gotten burnt out because they didn't have any resources to support them. So what I'm saying to you, and I'm challenging you, family, is manage the energy, just not the time. Because when you're managing the energy, meaning you're saying, okay, wait, I'm looking at my resource plan, and this person has too many activities, eventually they're going to burn out. Because if you don't look at it that way and you don't take that cautionary tale, what will happen is they will burn out. And then at that point, now you're really stuck, because now you got to find someone to backfill that stakeholder, get them up to speed. At the same time, you're hoping, matter of fact, you're please, you're hoping that it is the work that they produce is either the same or better than the previous stakeholder. All right, let's move on to point number two. Point number two, and I'm sorry, streamline communications. Hey, listen, there's so many different mediums that you could actually have a conversation on. What you want to ensure that you do is optimize the communication channels to ensure that the information is passed efficiently and effectively. I've watched it time and time again. People will start having these silo conversations in maybe a Slack or maybe a Teams or maybe a Asana. And the conversation never goes through a transferable aspect. What do you mean by that, ED? Meaning the information doesn't get to the people that actually need it. So you go off and have this amazing brainstorming session, this amazing problem solving session, and then you don't bring the information back to the team. So being able to optimize those communication channels and holding people accountable to, you know, when they have those silo meetings, to bring it back to the team. Because again, one of the biggest things as a project manager we can get caught up in is, I call it, let's have a meeting. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by let's have a meeting, meaning is that that we're having a meeting to talk about the meeting we just had about the meeting we just had. Yeah, I know it's just as confusing as it was for me to say it. But the point of it is being able to identify and eliminate unnecessary meetings as well as emails. How can I take advantage? If I have a stakeholder that I have two meetings with, is there a way I could combine both of those meetings? And so that stakeholder can speak there. Do you know how much people will respect you so much more? Like, man, anytime a meeting invite comes out from you, they know what to expect. And that's the thing. You want to be able to establish those particular expectations. By doing, establish those expectations, you will have more people that will show up to your actual meeting. Point number three, encouraging knowledge sharing. What does that mean? You know, I understand in these days and times, it's all about, it seems like, tribal knowledge. What is tribal knowledge? Meaning knowledge that people have gathered, this is my remix, who has gathered, but for some odd reason, that information was not handed over to the people that are actually in control or in leading the actual aspects. So one of the biggest things that I always recommend, and sometimes it works, family, and sometimes it doesn't, as I told you, we want to keep it very transparent here, is that project managers, they encourage to have what they call facilitate knowledge sharing among team members. Basically, what this does is helps and it ensures that valuable insights, skills, best practice are disseminated across the team, in which enhances the overall productivity. Listen, that's a, I know that's a big buzzword nowadays, productivity, but listen, honestly, it will help the productivity, because just imagine if someone already had the information that you had to, that the information you were looking for, and you didn't have to go do any further research and going to this person and they say no, going to that person, they say no, I don't even know what you're talking about. But someone that knows what they're talking about and having the ability to articulate themselves in a way that it makes sense, you pick it up, then you document the information, is amazing. So again, establish sharing processes and platforms. I mean, even do, if possible, create a document, I mean, create a repository where documentations go, and ensure that you could also do lunch and learn type sessions, which, hey, everybody loves to eat. So sometimes project manager, you might have to go in your wallet real quick and, you know, get a couple pizzas or get something. Yeah, a couple of pizzas and you guys sit around and talk and figure out ways that it would be effective. And when it comes to knowledge sharing, point number four, practice reflective learning. What does that look like? Listen, we have to understand, we have to embrace the ability to learn from what we just came out of is going to be key. Maybe you just missed what I just said there. I said the ability to come out of what we just learned is going to be key there. See, when you have an opportunity to go through something, you see what you see how I'm doing that going through? That means that you are going through this. I don't care if you're walking, I don't care if you're running, I don't care if you're sliding, you're going through it. Now, once you get to the other side, now it's time to do a roll call. Roll call, meaning you basically want to look back on some of those practices. What could you have done better? What some of the things you couldn't have controlled? Okay, now I can't control those things. How do I respond? How do I ensure that if this happens again, I'll be in a good position mentally to address it? Point number five, enhance decision-making processes. Listen, one of the biggest things, one of the foundational principles, if you were allow me to put my iron triangle together, it would be around problem solving. It would be one of the aspects. Why is that? Because as a project manager, as a project team, you're always faced with different decisions that are required. As you know, my motto, my talk here is, and it was inspired by Myron, of course, Golden, is that once you make a decision, everything else is cut off to the side. So let's go through this decision. If we find out this decision is not impactful, not effective enough, then we make the change, we make the switch, but we don't go and make choices. We establish clear guidelines for our decision-making process, including, this is big, because I've seen, you'll be shocked how many times I've seen where you don't even identify who is going to be responsible for making the decision. That's why the RAID Q-Log is so important. If you're not familiar with the RAID Q-Log, RAID Q stands for risk, action items, issues. D is the decision. And then Q, of course, is questions. You want to keep that. I love having that document handy, because when a decision is made, I put the person that actually made the decision, when the decision was made, and what was the context around what the decision is or was made. And so you want to ensure that you you're able to do that. Let's move on to point number six. Encouraging accountability. Listen, accountability sometimes can be a good thing and it sometimes can be a bad thing. I don't know when it's going to be a bad thing, but it just sounded good the way it was rolling off my tongue. But no, seriously, family, accountability. You want to ensure that you effectively foster a culture of accountability. You don't always want to be the one that is holding someone accountable. Yes, it is your job. However, once you created an atmosphere, some type of energy in which the teams are holding each other accountable and say, hey, you said you were supposed to deliver this on Friday and you didn't deliver it on Friday. Talk to me. What is going on? And they get to hemming and hawing and making every set of excuses. And then you ask the next follow-up question and say, well, if you knew you weren't going to deliver on Friday, why you just didn't email me or ping me or in Slack or Teams or something like that? And so a lot of times, family, we have to be cognizant. We have to be careful. One of the artifacts that you can use for to encourage accountability is a RACI chart. RACI standing for responsibility, accountability, consult, and inform. That is a key document. But even though that's good, again, all of these artifacts are good for project management. But what I've also seen happen is that you go and create your RACI document, you go in and create your RAID log, and you document, but then you don't go back and continue to revisit it. So that's why I'm all about the mindset, being able to create a culture of a mindset to be able to hold people accountable for the thing that they said they were going to deliver on. And if they can't deliver on it, we need to figure out why. If it's something that they need more resources, they may need more time, they may need more cost, or the scope is not aligned to what they thought the thing is that they, the widget that they were supposed to deliver. So family, holding people accountable will, and when you can get that to spread around your team, oh my goodness, you're talking about a team that is just, everybody knows their mission and they don't, it's not about the feelings. You're respectful, you're professional, but we care about the mission. What is the mission? The mission is to get this project done on time, within scope, within cost, and having an impeccable quality if possible. Let's move on to point number seven. Point number seven, optimizing meeting productivity. We discussed it a little bit earlier, how you can get caught up in so many meetings. And then, like I said, you're having a meeting to talk about a meeting you just got out of. And now you're going to talk about the same thing in the next meeting, which is not effective, it's not efficient. And what it does is it really pushes people away, because now when they see your meeting, they're like, why am I even going to go here? Because all I know what's about to happen is we're going to have another meeting about something. So you always want to, I share here what I do when I'm putting a meeting together. I have three components. Mostly now I'm going down to two, but it's what's the purpose of the meeting? Purpose of the meeting, what we're about to meet for. And then what are some outcomes? I learned the outcome piece from Alex Hormozi. Hey, what are we trying to get? When we meet, when we get connected, what are we trying to do? Let's go through and boom, 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 so we can address it. And then I can let you go and move on. All right, let's talk about point number eight. We all know that frustration can come from lack of expectation. Point number eight is managing expectations. Family, as a project manager, as a project coordinator, one of the biggest things you're going to have on your plate is the ability to manage your stakeholders' expectation. They may be up here while you are right here, and they don't understand like why you can't come up to them. Well, because that's not what the project was about. That's probably because we made the decision what the project was about when we were in the planning section and we put our scope together. You remember plan scope management. We collected the requirements, we defined the scope, and then we went and created a WBS work breakdown structure, and yours all on board. And then we validated the scope, and then now we're controlling the scope, make sure it doesn't get out of pocket. Point I'm trying to make, family, is project managers must effectively manage expectations with stakeholders, because if you don't, both within the team and among stakeholders, what will happen is everyone will be disaligned on what the end goal is. They will quickly lose any train of thought. So you want to keep them focused. That's why I always talk about over and over again the ability to focus on the journey, because if we're doing everything right in the journey, we should connect and hit the destination, in which means that the project is over with. I have one bonus for you, family, and then I'll go to my closing remarks. Team collaboration efficiency. Like, one of the biggest things I'm big on is collaboration. I get frustrated when silos happen, because then what ends up happening is now you're the team that did a silo type meeting that didn't come back to the bigger overall team, is that now it turns into a pulling of questions and pulling of answer, meaning we're not having a fluid conversation. We're not having a fluid discussion. And because we're not having a fluid discussion, now all of a sudden you're that team that's doing all this siloing is keeping things from us. And now we're having to figure it out. And then when we figure it out, we're frustrated because it was just like, this was a simple conversation. All we had to do was come together, collaborate, and find a way that we can talk through whatever the problem is or whatever is actually going on the project to make it a success. Here are my three closing remarks. Point number one, family, manage the energy, not just the time. What I mean by managing the energy, not just the time, family, what you need to be paying attention and to the conversations that your stakeholders are giving, because what you don't want to happen is, again, that you overwork them so much that you burn them out. And then when you burn them out, then now you're having to retrain another stakeholder. Let me park it parenthetically real quick, because I've had somebody say, no, you just keep working. I'm like, okay. And I'm not going to say the person's name, but I watched how that project just died, because they were working the stakeholders so hard that they didn't have any, I mean, it was just like they kept jumping from thing to thing. And I'm watching, I'm like, man, you need to slow this down. If you don't slow this down, pretty soon you're going to have people jumping board, jumping ship. And that's what happened. So I say to you, family, have those conversations with your stakeholders, kind of get an understanding where they're at. Ask those probing questions, because it's going to be very important. Point number two, enhance decision-making. As I stated before, improve how your decisions are made to reduce delays and increase the project momentum. My last and final piece here is, again, optimizing meeting productivity. Family, you don't want it when your meeting comes across to your stakeholder that they're like, I am not going to that. I'll just wait for the meeting recap, or I'll just wait until that person, that project manager or project coordinator reaches out to me directly. No, we want you there at the meeting so we can have a synergy to have a good dialogue about where the project is at and where we need to take it. So family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. As you know, I go by the name of ED. Until next time, I'm gone.